All right, welcome as we are in week two of Sermon on the Mount. If you were here last week, Pastor Ryan was up here filling in. We got a chance to get away and celebrate our son's birthday and hang out with him a little bit. So appreciate the time to be able to go and do that. So we're starting really again into Matthew chapter 5, all about the Sermon on the Mount. And so welcome those in the room, those online. We're so glad you're here. You belong to our family, and we are glad you're watching and are a part this morning. So I would encourage you at least read through Matthew chapter 5, because that's where we're going to spend the next several weeks in Matthew chapter 5. So if you read through it, you'll be like, oh, here's what's coming next. Here's what he's going to talk about. That's interesting. What does that mean? You'll already kind of be ahead of the game a little bit and ready for what we're going to look at next. And I will give you a little warning. The first 2 weeks are all about the first few verses, and you'll see that today. Now, remember, going back 2 weeks where we started, that we got to start with this framework. So every week we're going to have to stop, and we're going to put on kingdom glasses, because this is all about the good news. That's what Jesus was doing. I need to let everybody know that there is a euangelion, and you're all going to know this word by the end, okay? You're going to be Greek scholars. You're going to love it, okay? You're all going to know this word, euangelion, okay? It's not really hard. It's a fun little word to say, and it's not a word that Jesus invented. It's a word that they leveraged from culture and said, oh, when a new king and a new kingdom comes and takes over, that's what they tell everybody. There is good news about a new king and a new kingdom. So Jesus is like, oh, here we go. Good news about a new king and a new kingdom. That's what he is going to present. And this is really important. Why? Because you and I, we live in kingdoms, whether we think of it or not, right? We really probably don't think about it. We don't see anybody wearing a crown around here, so right? We don't see that in our daily lives. So some of the pictures of kingdom aren't around us, per se, but we see it all the time. And you need to understand that when Jesus' followers that day heard this message, this sermon, they were thinking all about kingdoms, and they all come from their own kingdoms. You have Matthew, the tax collector, and he had a kingdom. And his kingdom was, I want to please Rome, because pleasing Rome and making money is really, really important. That's my kingdom. And that's my king. My king is, you know, round and gold and has a face on it. Okay, that was his king, and that's what he was about. You had individuals who were zealots, who were part of groups that wanted to take over and get the Romans out of there. There are lots of different people who had their own kingdoms. So just think of us the same way. We all have kingdoms. We all have things that we give ourselves to that are important to us, and we've come, and I'm hoping that through this series, it's going to get revealed what those kingdoms are, what we're following, what is our good news, okay? What kingdom we're a part of, and that we would consider, are we really following the kingdom of Jesus? Is Jesus our king, and are we a part of his kingdom? Okay, so as we start today, I just want to mention that first words are important and memorable. Now, we all know this, but there are some first words that we know, and we probably don't know much else about it. Let me give you an example, okay? 67 years ago. Now, I don't know how many of you can say the rest of the Gettysburg Address. Probably like, maybe I got 3 other words, okay? But this is a famous speech by Abraham Lincoln, and we remember 67 years ago. And I don't know, okay? But it was really good. It was really powerful, and the slaves were free, and he won the Civil War, and right, all these different things. All we know is those first words. They were important, and they were memorable. They set up everything that he was going to talk about. How about this? When in the course of human events. Again, Declaration of Independence. And how many of us know many other words of the Declaration of Independence? But gosh, those first words are kind of memorable, okay? That someone got creative and said, let's start it off as, this is our declaration, okay? They actually started off with something memorable, creative, when in the course of human events. How about this? Have you ever picked up this book? It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. From Dickens, A Tale of Two Cities. Same concept, you know, just drew you right in from that first thing. So that's what Jesus, I wonder, is doing here. That the first thing he's going to say is going to be important, and it's going to be memorable, and we're going to set the tone for everything we're going to talk about. And so he gives a list of beatitudes. Now, all depends on how you read these. You might put a list of 9 That's because I really combine 8 and 9 into 1 and just call it 8. Okay, so I'm telling you, I'm doing math here. Okay, I'm just combining them all because it's all about this idea of being persecuted. And what do we do being persecuted? So here are these lists, and there are really two groups of four that we're going to talk about. And if you're ever wondering, where on earth did we come up with the name Beatitudes? Okay, somebody made up the word. They took two Latin words for the beginning of this, and they stuck it together, and we've always called this section the Beatitudes. Okay, that's what we've always called it, just one of those weird things. But it's all about Jesus being memorable and needing to start with something really, really important. And he starts with this word, blessed. Now, I don't know how it appears in your translations. Okay, some have it happy, which is a terrible definition. Okay, I'm just telling you, it's terrible. Okay, because that's not what Jesus is talking about. Okay, especially as we define the word happy, because for many of us, that's our ultimate thing. But that's what we're taught. Well, you do whatever you have to do in order to be happy. So this is going to go clearly against that. It's the word blessed, to walk righteously in joy. So it's really not happiness. It's really the opposite of happiness. But Jesus is going to say you're blessed if, and I think he's going to say some things we might not think very much as blessings unless we understand the kingdom he's inviting us to be a part of and the kingdom he's inviting us to join and belong to. So this is how we're going to break up the first four. Who is the kingdom available to? Now, followers are there that day. They're going to hear these words, and they're going to wonder, is this kingdom for me? Who's in? Who's it available to? Who is Jesus inviting to be a part of that? Because remember we said in Matthew chapter 4, there's two things we learn. That Jesus is telling this good news, and that there are a lot of different people around, and this is a really diverse group from all sorts of different backgrounds. We could say from all sorts of different kingdoms who wandered in that day to listen to this new king talk about a new kingdom and go, am I even allowed in this kingdom? Is this kingdom for me? Is this kingdom only for certain individuals who are powerful and authoritative? Certain people? Is it only for males or is it for both? Male and females, what's it for? Who is allowed to be in it? Who's in? So as you hear these today, I've changed the language of them a little bit after we read them because I want us to think about them that way. The blessings that Jesus is going to say are available to us about being in the kingdom. So here's the first one, okay? Beatitude number one, the blessing of brokenness. The blessing of brokenness. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They obviously have a deficiency in spirit because they're poor in spirit. So we're going to look at that and say, okay, so if you're poor in spirit, so what if we just wrote it this way? When you understand your need for God, you're in. What if Jesus is saying that? The poor in spirit, you think, oh, I don't have a chance. You don't understand my life, and I really need help. I really need somebody. I really need a new king and a new kingdom. It says, when you understand your need for God, when it's not just, well, I don't know, I'm pretty successful. I think I got all I want. I guess God could be a good add-on. You don't understand your need for God. That the kingdom is about those who recognize their need for God. I need him. I am desperate for him. And isn't it interesting throughout the whole Gospels, aren't those the individuals who come crawling at times to Jesus, begging at times to Jesus, because they were in such desperate need? And I wonder sometimes if we ever even consider we need God at all. Man, I don't know, it's 2022, I think I'm doing pretty good, right? Good job and all these other things. Do I really need God? Do I really need God? I've got an answer for everything. I've got a solution for everything. That's at least what our culture tells us all the time. Why would you need God? Why would you need God? And Jesus is looking saying, I'm not here shoving myself on anybody. But when you recognize how much you need me, that's a huge key. You're in. You're a part. The kingdom's available to you when you understand your need of it. Not just, oh, it might be a nice add-on, might be a nice addition. When you understand your need of God himself. Number two, the blessing of heartache. The blessing of, this is a blessing. Follow along. The blessing of heartache. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Okay, so what are we mourning? What if we worded it this way, it would help us understand. When you grieve, you're violating of God's shalom. You were in. When's the last time you grieved over breaking what God says is his design and his creation and his order of things that is supposed to lead to blessing and flourishing and great things? When's the last time you grieved over the fact that you violated that? You went against that. So there's a picture that Jesus tells of two individuals who approach God in prayer. And one of them comes to him and says, oh, I'm lost. I don't have a thing. I am terrible. I am a sinner, right? That's the one approach. The other approach was, God, I am so wonderful. I am so glad I am not like that person. I am nowhere near like that person. I am so glad for who I am. And Jesus looks and says, by the way, do you know the first guy? First guy's in. Because he understands his need, his breaking of God's order and God's rule. And he grieves over the breaking of God's order and God's thriving and God's blessing for us. See, when's the last time you've done that? When's the last time you grieved over breaking one of God's commands, one of God's orders, one of God's blessings that we could have a life that thrived and a life that would flourish? And we just kind of ignored it. Or we just kind of excused it. Or we read it and went, yeah, God, that's nice, but you know, God, it is 2022, and most people don't live like this. Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, you can take a poll, and I've read a lot of them. I have read lots of them, and they're not encouraging, so please don't do it, okay? It really isn't that there's not a lot of people following this. If you haven't figured that out yet, there is not a lot of people in 2022 following this. Just not. Because there's all sorts of excuses why, but this is archaic, and this is old, and this is outdated. So why then would I grieve over the violating of this if I really don't care, if I think this is outdated? I won't grieve over the violating of it, over the breaking of God's commands. So when's the last time you grieved over that? And the followers that day, the people would have gone, oh. When was the last time you grieved? The blessing of surrender. The blessing of surrender. Blessed are meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, meek gets really misunderstood. It's probably one of those words that we don't understand. It does not mean weak, okay? I know it rhymes, right? It rhymes. It sounds good. Yeah, it's got to be the same thing, right? Weak, meek, you know, it's all the same. Nope, not even close. Meek means to put power under control. That's what it means. It means I could do something to get my own way. I could do something to get what I want, but I'm going to choose not to. It is the blessing of surrender when Jesus says the meek, the people who could just bully themselves around and use their own power and use their own authority and get whatever they want, but they don't. Oh, they're the real ones. We could say when you recognize your proper place in the universe before God, you are in. When you understand it's not about me. It's not about me taking all my resources and using them for me. Taking what I have and using it for me. Leveraging what I have and using it for me. And we see this all the time. People taking the positions that they get of power and authority, and they leverage all of that for who? The people who need it the most? No. They leverage that for themselves. That's how our world works. That we take what we have and we just leverage it for ourselves. And we just push it all and say, that's all for me. But the meek don't do that. They take that and say, how can I leverage what I've been given for the good of someone else? And Jesus says, if you do that, you're in. You're in. You're a part of the kingdom. If you can do that. If you understand your place, you understand your role, and you understand everything you've been given is a gift from God to use and help someone else. If you could realize that, you're in. The last one, the blessing of neediness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. So when you rely on God alone to meet your need, you are in. When you hunger and thirst, but how are you going to meet that need? Well, I'll figure it out myself. I'll do it myself. When's the last time you relied on God to meet a need? To meet a need. Just think about that. We joked a few weeks ago. I was joking with somebody in the church about that. You know, if it doesn't rain for a while, do we ever call a prayer meeting? No. Why don't we? We watch the weather forecast. Come on. Okay. Come on, Channel 8. You better predict rain. Okay. That's what we're hoping for, because that's kind of who we're hoping is going to meet that need. Okay. That's kind of what we're, when's the last time we've actually done that? To actually understand that God can actually meet that need. When's the last time you actually leaned into God to meet a need in your life? Not, I'm going to figure out some other way to do it myself. Because, right, there's that verse. That phantom verse that I don't know, I hear from time to time, God helps those who help themselves, and I have no idea where it is. I've looked through my Bible, and I can't find it, okay? So if you can, please point it out to me, that somehow I just got to figure it out myself how to meet that need. No, what if I lean into God to meet that need? Those who hunger and thirst, guess what? They get to be filled because they realize who's going to meet that need. God is going to meet that need. And I'm just going to depend on Him to do that. I'm going to do everything I can, everything He's given to me, everything that He's blessed me with, but I'm going to let Him meet that need in my life. So those are these first four, these blessings that really come about by being a part of the kingdom when we understand that we're in need, that we have broken God's commands, that we are in desperate need of Him and all He has done. That's how I want you to think of these things from now on. That Jesus is looking and saying, so are these blessings yours? Are you relying on me? Are you looking to me to fulfill and to meet the needs in your life? Are you looking to me when you have needs? Are you looking to me when you need things fulfilled in your life? Or are you just going out in your own kingdoms trying to fill those things all by yourself? See, I think we have another word for it, and it's this word, grace. That those first four Beatitudes are all about grace. When are you going to realize that you can't do it on your own? You weren't designed to do it on your own. You weren't created to do it on your own. And you've got him totally out that. But if you could understand grace, that God's given that all to us because of what Jesus says he's going to do for us and for this group. That he's going to the cross, he's dying for their sins, he's rising again for their salvation, so he can offer grace. He can give them the things they don't deserve. And they might have sit there that day, well, why would God meet my needs? What have I done for him? This is called grace. This is called grace. And sometimes we miss it. But I will tell you what. The stories we love, the stories you've told me about, the stories you're like, oh, I heard this week, okay, are of people who understand their need of grace and find a God who's willing to give it. Those are the stories we tell. Those are the stories we watch and like, oh, how remarkable. Look what God did in their life. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? They had this need. This was happening. This was going on in their life. And God shows up at the perfect moment, and he gives them what they don't deserve but what they need the most, and that is simply his grace. When's the last time we thought about that? That those are the stories we need, and that these first four Beatitudes might be summed up the best way with understanding God's grace. So, when's the last time you heard a good story about grace? Think about that. When's the last time you heard a good story about grace? Of somebody who just was in desperate need, and God showed up and met them in an incredible way, and their story's fantastic. When's the last time you heard one of those stories? I would encourage you to share that with somebody else, because those stories of grace are so important, because you know what? Every single time They remind us, oh, yeah, isn't God awesome? Isn't God amazing? God will do that for us. So I'm going to share one with you that I heard recently that is just absolutely fantastic, especially in our culture and our time. This is really, this is like on point to, if you follow much of culture news, culture trends, things happening in our world, this is like right on point with that. This is God saying, oh yeah, I know it's 2022 and watch what I'm going to do here. Okay, well, watch what I'm going to do in the midst of this. Okay, so I love them. Sometimes you got to put yourself in places where you'll intersect with these stories. There's some people online in what I will call the Twitterverse. Okay, that you can intersect some of these stories on social media and different places. You can listen to different podcasts or different things, and you'll get to intersect at times. People allowing other people to tell their stories. So I want to do that. And I took this directly from her website called the Rainbow Redemption Project. Don't know if you've ever heard of it. Okay. It's pretty new. Okay. But this is her story. And she just puts this right on the front page. So everybody will know what this is all about and what she wants to see accomplished and what she's hoping that God will do. So she decides, well, I need to share my story so you understand what God did for me and what I would love to see God do for you. Okay, so here we go. Her name is Sophia. At 17 years old, Sophia, born female, made the decision to transition and become a man. She was led to believe that this would alleviate her gender dysphoria, which she since realized was a result of deep trauma. So, they stop right there. She's in desperate need, isn't she? The culture has a kingdom that it led her to, okay? This is really important to understand all our words coming together. Deep need, she's led into a kingdom, okay? But after 2 years of cross-sex hormone replacement therapy from the age of 18, a double mastectomy at age 19, she realized at age 20 that her life was left severely worse than before. Can I just tell you, her kingdom failed. Her kingdom failed her. That's what it did. She spent a couple years giving herself to this kingdom, and it let her down. It failed her. After deciding to detransition, go the other way back, she found no resources to help aid her in her tumultuous process. So after a year of attempting to move forward, in the little strength she had, she ultimately surrendered her life to the Lord. Our language, she found a new king and a new kingdom. Through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, she has been able to experience true redemption and healing in a way she never could have possibly dreamed. So her goal in establishing this organization is to help other detransitioners actualize the same redemptive power within their own lives, all to the glory of God. She understands from personal experience that true redemption of a life can only be found through Jesus Christ. See, that's someone who was a part of a king and a kingdom, and she found a new king and a new kingdom, and she found good news. She found redemption. She found redemption and grace waiting for her. And what does she want to do now? Gosh, we got to help other people be a part of this kingdom, especially the people that were just like me, that were in that place, in where I was, and in that place, and in that time, and that season. And so that's why she started what she did. Because she had such experienced the grace of God in her need and at a time when her kingdom had failed her, she found a new king and a new kingdom that redeemed her and changed her life and gave her the grace they wanted. Now, see, I know most of us, we have stories like that of what the grace of God has done for us. And sometimes over time, we just forget and we start drifting to other kingdoms and doing other things. And I hope we recapture this morning that grace that Jesus alone offers us, that says this kingdom is so much better, but I'm not going to force it on you. I'm not going to make you do it. I'm not going to draw a sword and hold it up to you and say, okay, you're going to do this or not. Nope, your choice. When you realize your need, and when you realize your thirst, and when you realize that you are poor in spirit and you are depleted and your kingdom has left you emptiness, oh, I got a kingdom for you. And King Jesus is waiting with all his grace and all his hope and all his redemptive power. He paid for us by dying in our place and rising again for our salvation that he secured for us. Every single one of us. You watching online, for you as well. He secured it for all of us. So may we understand that to be in the kingdom of heaven is such an invitation. But it's not one of force, because God doesn't force himself on anyone. But he has abundant grace and redemptive power available for all who would come that way. So as we pray this morning, I want you to consider this morning. What kingdom are you in? Okay? What kingdom are you in? Our prayer team will be up here this morning. You can pray with them. If you're online, you can send a message to Destiny. Destiny's on the chat this morning. She will give me those prayer needs as well. She will pray for you. We would love to do that. We'd love to see you find the grace of God and a new king and a new kingdom and the redemption that you need. So let's pray, and then we're going to worship one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, would you help us? First, I ask that you remind us of the grace. If grace has captured our heart and it's worked in our life, then I pray this morning you would spark that in us and remind us of that. Father, would you also remind us that all these other kingdoms we investigate and we go give ourselves to, boy, they offer no grace. They are taking things that we don't even know they're taking. They are not meeting our needs. They are not for our good and not for our blessing and not for our wholeness. They take and they steal and they rob. And sometimes we don't even know it. But Father, I thank you for Sophia's story, because that's the story you have told over and over again for 2,000 years of your redemption and your power at work. But you don't force yourself on anyone. And I pray this morning, above all else, we'd understand our need for you. And that the kingdom and this new king is available to us. And the grace that we need so desperately is just a prayer away. A word away from you, Father, reaching in. May we understand our need for you. May we reach out for you, and may you work powerfully in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.